For three straight years, the Florida economy has added jobs each and every month, pushing down the unemployment rate. But hundreds of thousands of people remain without work statewide, some for several years. Today's job market is challenging, even for the most qualified. So what are job seekers finding when searching for work? I'm Tom Hudson. Coming up on the Sunshine Economy, finding work in South Florida. There are twice as many people in South Florida who are officially considered unemployed today compared to before the Great Recession began. The recovery in the job market has been painfully slow for some, even as what Floridians are paid has been shrinking for at least a decade. It's all ahead on the Sunshine Economy, finding work in South Florida. Welcome to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. There are a lot of ways to learn you've lost your job. You hear, we're downsizing, we're consolidating, your position has been eliminated, you've been laid off, we have to let you go, you're fired. Regardless of whatever corporate speak is used, the result is the same. You are unemployed. That's what we're looking at in this Sunshine Economy, finding work in South Florida. 5 years after the collapse of Lehman Brothers, a half decade since the Great Recession began, and the job market is stronger than what it was during those dark days back in 2008. But if you've looked for work lately, odds are you've experienced one of the most feeble and fragile job recoveries in modern economic times. At its current rate, in fact, the nation's job market won't fully recover to employment levels we enjoyed 5 years ago until the year 2020. That's according to calculations by the Economic Policy Institute. Now, the formula considers the regular population growth in the labor force that we see, along with the number of jobs that still have not returned since the recession ended. Yes, new jobs are being created, 6,000 in South Florida alone in July. But the number of people officially declared as unemployed is double today compared to what it was before the recession began. More than 221,000 South Floridians were considered unemployed in July.
My name is Ian Kramer. I live in Aventura, Florida. I am an accomplished project manager for real estate development companies. My last project completed approximately 4.5 years ago, and I'm currently unattached to any projects that are ongoing.
My name is Jay Pellis. I'm from Coral Springs. I've been unemployed for about a year and a half. I've had some part-time jobs here and there. So I've been looking for work. I hope to be starting a position as a part-time GED instructor. That will be a good placeholder. Perhaps I'll be able to find something full-time with them.
Sal Clemente, and I live in Oakland Park, Florida, and I have been looking for full-time, solid, steady employment to where I can enjoy getting up in the morning and going to work it'll be coming up on 3 years in October.
That's Ian, Jay, and Sal. Just three voices looking for work here in today's modern Sunshine Economy. You'll get to know all three over the course of the next hours. They represent voices of what we often hear are simply economic statistics. Now, someone with a graduate degree who's worked in real estate development, a late career job seeker, and looking for work in the legal industry with a high school diploma. This trio is not a scientific sampling of the South Florida workforce. There are three people among the 221,000 counted as unemployed in South Florida in July. Three people among the 665,000 unemployed throughout the state of Florida, and just three of the 11.5 million officially unemployed in America. Those are big numbers. Numbers that have the attention of every political leader from the smallest city up to Washington, D.C., and the State House. Governor Rick Scott has built and bet his political future on jobs. He convinced lawmakers to cut the sales tax on manufacturing equipment, do away with regulations that could hinder economic growth. He's also going after business executives in other states, urging them to book a one-way ticket to Florida. And the governor has claimed his efforts are working, and the unemployment numbers prove it. WLRN Miami Herald reporter Gina Jordan has more on the governor's job strategy and whether his employment claim is accurate.
Governor Rick Scott is making the rounds as new businesses open or relocate to Florida. He helped open this Bass Pro Shops in Tallahassee last week.
We have 200 new jobs right here in Tallahassee.
The economy looks much better now than it did when Scott took office 2.5 years ago. Home sales are picking up, and Florida's unemployment rate is down to 7.1%. That's the lowest it's been in 5 years, and it's better than much of the country. Scott was happy to tout the numbers in this video released by the governor's office.
We're below the national average. This is a stark contrast to the 4 years before I became governor. In those 4 years, the state lost 832,000 jobs, and unemployment went from 3.5 to 11.1%.
Scott says he is more than halfway to fulfilling his promise to create 700,000 jobs in 7 years. The Tampa Bay Times PolitiFact team rated that claim mostly false. PolitiFact researcher Katie Sanders says it is true that the state has added around 350,000 jobs since Scott took office.
However, we hold him to the standard he asked us to hold him to when he was on the campaign trail. He clarified that his 700,000 jobs in 7 years would be on top of normal growth.
PolitiFact rated Scott's claim mostly false because so far, it appears the state is adding jobs at the rate economists predicted. They said we would add about 1 million jobs by the year 2017, not counting what the governor vowed to do.
So as far as whether Scott can actually take the credit for the jobs that are being created, we've found in the past many times from many different experts that it would take several years to even begin to assess whether the policies had the desired job creation effect.
Economists point out that the improving jobless rates overall may be due in part to people giving up the job search altogether. Dr. Sean Snaith at the University of Central Florida believes that is having a significant impact on the unemployment numbers.
We get these discouraged workers who may have been looking for a year and a half or 2 years, but if they stop looking for a four-week stretch, they're not counted as being unemployed.
Snaith says there are limits to what any governor, including Rick Scott, can do to boost a state's market conditions, especially after a disastrous housing bubble.
This is a major event in Florida's economic history, and it's one that, you know, you can't easily shake off. You know, tax credits for manufacturing or marketing the state and trying to woo businesses can help growth once that larger cycle has turned again in our favor. But, you know, it's not going to undo the damage that's taken place in the economy.
The governor launched a letter-writing campaign this summer to companies out of state, hoping to lure them to Florida's warm climate and low taxes. His letter to business owners in Kentucky drew a heated response from that state's governor, who accused Scott of having poor taste and providing false information. The question is, will any of those companies take the bait? Dr. Snaith says business owners consider a lot of factors before deciding where to set up shop.
Maybe most important of all, what's the labor force like? Do we have the dynamic and trained and trainable labor force here in Florida? Things like quality of life and educational system and infrastructure, these are all critically important as well.
Governor Scott stands by his efforts. He says Florida has cut taxes 25 times and gotten rid of much of the red tape that bogs businesses down. His office says a new round of letters will go out soon to more business owners in other states, urging them to book a one-way ticket to Florida. I'm Gina Jordan in Tallahassee.
One of those who has been looking for work since Governor Scott made his pledge is Ian Kramer. He lives in Aventura with his wife. He has an MBA from the University of Southern California. Now, nationally, the unemployment rate for someone like him with a graduate college degree, it's under 4%. But Ian hasn't worked in his chosen field, real estate development, in more than 4 years.
I made the decision to aggressively pursue new opportunities that are in the market, and without even waiting for job postings or ads, targeted the new projects that I knew were going up and went into those companies to see if there were opportunities for employment for myself.
And you've done that recently. What have you found? What have you heard back in return?
A number of different things. Some of the companies that I've spoken with, other than speaking with me, didn't speak a single word of English in the office. So that put me in a difficult situation because I'm not bilingual. So to be the only person in the office that they would have to make an attempt to communicate with in a language that wasn't their own is difficult. Other situations where I've had appointments where they said, oh, yeah, you seem like a good candidate for us. At some point along the line, maybe we'll speak with you. And I've continued to get in touch with these companies, and I guess on a monthly basis, and have been continually pushed off while they seem to be moving ahead.
Give me an idea of what your skill set is that you offer a real estate development company here.
I consider myself a contract manager. I have a generalized master's and business degree. a financial degree. So I consider myself an expert in budgeting, negotiation. Really, when you deal with a project that large, any sort of changes in liability and financial obligations usually get pushed on the owner of the projects. So I consider myself an owner's rep.
On paper, the skill set, your experience, the industry, and the education all line up when you look at the statistics of unemployment rate for those with a college degree or greater at half of what the total unemployment rate is overall. The real estate industry that you work in and the experience. From your perspective, what's the reality of today's job market?
When it gets to a situation in a company where they have a need for employment and they do a job posting, the response to these postings, I'm under the impression, is enormous, huge. Maybe they're receiving 300, 400, 500 resumes, I can't really say, but an enormous amount. And to make yourself stand out on paper is a very difficult thing to do. People who meet me are struck by me, might be taken by me and understand my skill set, what I bring to the table. But how I differentiate myself on a resume, I haven't been that successful. So although I may have all the perfect background and experience, because of this last period, in the last 4 years where I've had to make do, I found out that I've been disqualified from even taking certain meetings with companies. There's enough people that have been steadily employed that they just decide to meet with them instead.
A lot of folks have been concerned about that long-term unemployment, which the economists and the government define as 6 months or more. You clearly fit that in terms of being attached to a payroll project. That the longer folks like yourself, Ian, find themselves unemployed, the more difficult it becomes to get back into the workforce. Would you agree with that assessment?
That's totally true. In fact, when I finished my last project, I had targeted a new project. It was right here on the beach, and I had met the developers. I was really pretty certain that I was going to get hired on as the project manager for this luxury oceanfront condominium, which is really my specialty. And what ended up happening was, 4 years later, that's still an empty piece of oceanfront land. It was foreclosed upon. So although I really had strategically set myself up for what I thought would be my next employment opportunity, it just failed to come together.
Yeah. Are you frustrated at all, Ian?
Clearly. Definitely frustrated. I have a lot to offer, and I know that every single one of these companies that I've gone in and spoken to would benefit from myself working there. There would be a clear benefit in my eyes. But I guess I haven't really been able to communicate that properly. Otherwise, they would have taken advantage of my services.
Despite your frustration, you do sound confident. Would you describe yourself as optimistic?
I'm confident in myself. I don't know why I would consider myself optimistic. If I was optimistic, I would think that the next opportunity would be just around the corner. But I think it might be more difficult than that.
Governor Scott, when he ran for election, ran on a platform of 700,000 jobs in 7 years. Arguably, he's plus or minus about halfway there in terms of total net number of jobs created in Florida. What would you want the governor to know about your experience over the last 4.5 years?
I came to Florida after my parents retired here knowing what I thought of the job prospects. I came here from Los Angeles where I got my master's degree, and I knew that there would be less economic opportunity here in Florida than there was in L.A.
Ian, what about a message for colleagues that find themselves in a similar situation as yours? Well-educated, college degree, graduate degree, still struggling to find really any significant work here 5 years or so after the Great Recession?
You only need one opportunity. Okay, you could go on 100 interviews, or you could go on 5 interviews. You only need one opportunity. And if you find the one right opportunity, grab it, and you make the most of it. Before I came to South Florida, although I had some real estate experience, I was not a development professional. And I came here, and I was offered the position at Related, and I really made the most of it. I grew to become a senior project manager with sole responsibility for a $100 million condominium project. I built a 32-story oceanfront condominium that people are living in right now. So when you get the opportunity to do something, you take it. And so even 4 years now, there still could be an opportunity for me. Maybe it's with a company that makes windows for one of these condominium buildings. Maybe they make railings. I don't know which opportunity is going to be offered to me, but whatever company that is clearly going to benefit from my knowledge and experience whenever that happens.
Ian, are you going to stay in Florida, keep the job hunt in Florida?
We've already been expanding where we're looking. We're both from New York. My wife and I both grew up in New York, and life here in Florida is easier, okay? You're here in our apartment. This is a beautiful apartment. To be able to live in this apartment in New York City, I have to assume our combined income would have to be $500,000, something like that, to live the kind of lifestyle that we're living right now. And clearly, we're doing that on much, much less. So the quality of life here is relatively high for what it costs. But we have some friends that live in Houston, and they say real estate in particular is clearly booming in Houston, and I'm looking at opportunities there. Of course, I have a lot of friends and connections in Los Angeles, and we would consider going back. But herein lies the rub, which is that if you think it's difficult to get a job, even in a small market like Florida, getting a job in a different location other than where you live is quite a hurdle to cross, because when that company is getting 200 or 300 resumes, they'll take the first 50 people that they can talk to that live within 10 miles of there. Although we're looking outside of Florida, we're not sure how easy that's going to be to make happen.
Ian Kramer, trying to find work here in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. This is the Sunshine Economy, and still to come, the potential of high-paying jobs attracting highly educated workers.
If incomes are increasing, it's ultimately going to lead to greater, household consumption. Greater household consumption leads to greater demand for goods and services. Greater demand for goods and services leads to greater employment. Greater employment leads to incomes, greater spending, so on and so forth. So it's really a feedback loop that can be either positive or negative. Unfortunately, in the state of Florida, we've been really in a negative feedback loop for the greater part of the past 12 years.
This is the Sunshine Economy, finding work in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. If Jay Pelas of Coral Springs is included in government employment surveys now, he would be considered employed after months of being counted among the unemployed. It's because today he begins a part-time job teaching GED classes at the Flight Center in Broward County, helping young adults leaving the foster care system transition into life on their own.
It's a very difficult market right now. My background and experience is very diverse, mostly corporate type of work, administrative management, project management. And many of the jobs that I'm seeing are very, very specific as to what they're looking for. If you've got a good general background, a utility infielder, if you will, they're not looking for that. So it's tough for somebody who's well-rounded and experienced to find a niche.
How old are you?
56.
Has that been a challenge or has that been an opportunity?
I really don't know. I'd like to think it's a bit of an opportunity. I'd like to think I'm well-spoken. BA in journalism, I can write a good letter, I can read a good contract. You don't see that as much necessarily with the college graduates now. So I like to think that's an advantage. But on the other hand, I have a feeling I may be to a disadvantage.
Talk me through the process that you've gone through for applying for jobs.
It's a very impersonal process. You submit the resume, everything is online. In 5% of the cases, you get something back that says thank you, but no thank you.
So 95% of the cases, you don't hear anything back.
You don't hear anything back. I did go on one series of interviews with one organization. I think I was in the final stages of in who they were looking to hire, but I did not hear back from them. Did the follow-up with an email, and then about two and a half weeks later, I just got a little postcard that says, we've decided not to hire you. It's a difficult process for the job seeker right now. You've got to be highly specialized, I think, and it's really all about networking, I think, who you know, what you know, and being in the right place at the right time.
Jay, how have you found the opportunities that you have gone after?
I found them through LinkedIn, through the various the job search websites. Very few people have told me I know somebody hiring. Very few people know anybody hiring.
Jay, what was your last full-time job?
My last full-time job was as the assistant director for a small tutoring company that trained students who were LPNs. It prepared them to take standardized exams. If they passed all of the standardized exams, they could then be tested to become a registered nurse. And I was the assistant director. I did scheduling, helped students resolve their issues, act as the liaison between students and the home office, that type of thing.
A mix of administrative work, a mix of management work, and project management.
A little bit of that. And then I also taught one class. There was one English class, so I taught that.
So you were in the classroom as well. What happened with that job?
Enrollments in the program went down. And it was just a matter of eliminating a position.
And when was that?
That was February of 2012.
What were those first few months of unemployment like?
The first few months were difficult, but the first few weeks I was a little optimistic. I felt that I had a lot under my belt as far as skills and experience. So I was optimistic. I saw a lot of jobs out there. And then after about 5 or 6 weeks, I started to get a little nervous because jobs that I felt I was qualified for, I was getting either nothing back or the occasional email, thank you, but no thank you. And then I did find a position with a local, very, very small nonprofit, working part-time for him. And that went for several months until he eventually ran out of funds.
Are you still discouraged?
Yes, I am still a bit discouraged. I'm optimistic that I've at least got this part-time opportunity. And hopefully through networking with them, there may be some other organizations that can also use me part-time so I can put something together to a 40-hour week or more.
Have you been looking for work throughout the last year and a half consistently?
It doesn't stop. Every day is almost worse than the previous day.
Worse how?
More stressful, more frustration. The only thing I could equate it to that could be worse would be being ill. Other than that, it is always on your mind. I look for a friend of mine was in crisis a couple of weeks ago when I spent 5 or 6 hours helping her out. And at the end, when everything was done, I was, wow, I didn't think about looking for work for 5 hours. I resolved the crisis and it was a nice escape from thinking about looking for work.
The employment data would describe you as marginally attached to the labor force. So you're unemployed, looking for work full time with the possibility of having part-time work very soon.
Correct.
You want to work full-time.
Absolutely.
Do you have to work full-time?
Absolutely.
How has the last year and a half been financially? How have you made it?
Well, $275 a week from unemployment doesn't cover a lot. Fortunately, my wife is employed, well employed, and we cut back. Mm-hmm. We cut back. And managed to and tap into savings that came from grandparents, parents, that type of thing.
Yeah,
tap into that and get by.
Have you been offered work that you've turned down?
No.
What happens next week, next month for you?
Well, if the part time job does come through, and then unemployment will drop off, and then I've got an income that will be a bit more than what unemployment would pay. And that will hopefully be a little bit of a help alleviate some of the anxiety and some of the pressure. And I'll continue looking for work. I will probably stay there I won't start looking for work immediately. I think I'd like to settle in and actually be able to say, yes, I do have a job. This is what I do. And work with them and ask them if they may have anything, any networking available where I may be able to find something else through them. But I can't do that part-time position long-term. That can't be that's my career for the next going forward.
How has this experience affected kind of your outlook?
It's made me I'm cynical in general, but it's made my outlook very, very difficult. My entire family is in New York, and to justify a trip to visit them is very difficult. It's just a hesitant outlook. I don't know that it's necessarily negative, but I'm very reluctant to try to think positive.
Jay Pelas of Coral Springs, today officially no longer unemployed. He starts a part-time job. He'd be considered underemployed. Working, but underemployed. Still to come on this edition of the Sunshine Economy, finding work in South Florida, looking to attract a high-paying industry.
Miami is extremely, extremely competitive. I mean, it's much, much, much cheaper. So for what tech companies pay, you know, you'd be a king in Miami.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN, finding work in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. One of the industries holding a lot of promise for the local job market is the technology industry. Now, certainly it's still a small piece of our economy now, but it can cast a big shadow, bringing high-paying jobs and elevating Miami's reputation. There's an awful lot of optimism in South Florida's tech industry that it has room to grow and it can create, attract, and keep tech jobs. Here's WLRN intern Patience Hagen.
Tech entrepreneur Brian Bracking is nursing a tech startup called Kairos that works on the cutting edge of facial recognition technology. He left Apple and brought his big idea here, to Miami. That's rare, according to Raj Punukamadi. He's a manager of programming who works for Activist Pharmaceuticals.
They're really talented software guys. They don't come to South Florida. Mostly the people who are here, they're from the local universities and local colleges.
He has a computer science master's degree from Nova Southeastern and has been working in South Florida for 15 years. He says the tech jobs here are mostly IT positions for businesses in other fields.
The high quality people are there. There's just not a huge quantity of them when you compare them to like Boston and New York or the Bay Area.
That's Mark Slaughter, the founder and CEO of Cohealo, a Miami-based healthcare equipment startup. Convincing tech developers to come to South Florida or to stay here can be a challenge.
A lot of these types of people are world-class engineers or world-class at sales, and they can pretty much have their pick of the litter of where they want to go and the organization they want to work with.
So South Florida needs to be competitive to attract that world-class talent. And what does South Florida have to offer?
Miami and South Florida in particular, it's a fun place to live.
But is our warm weather lifestyle enough to attract and retain tech workers?
One of my co-founders actually relocated from the Bay Area. It was tough to convince him. You know, that was really the only person who relocated engineering-wise.
Since there are relatively few software companies in the area, techies who move here might not have many nearby options if one company doesn't pan out. For Bracking, who moved here from the Bay Area, Miami's relatively lower cost of living helped.
Miami is extremely, extremely competitive. I mean, it's much, much, much cheaper. So for what tech companies pay, you know, you'd be a king in Miami.
Miami's cost of living is significantly lower than San Francisco or New York. However, census data shows it's still above average compared to the rest of the country. And it's certainly higher than some other more established tech hubs, like Austin, Texas, or Raleigh, North Carolina. So while the price to live in South Florida may be lower than some places, it probably won't be enough to bring in a booming tech scene all on its own, especially since money isn't really what motivates people who could work wherever they want.
Cost of living and compensation tends to be not as important as being able to work on an interesting project.
To attract the top software developers, you need to have good ideas. One challenge for those with good ideas is securing venture capital. Tech hubs like San Francisco, New York, or Seattle do this well locally. While there's plenty of wealth in Miami, most of it hasn't been interested in tech innovations. To grow the tech industry, it'll be essential to have a culture of local interested money.
Technologists invest in tech startups. We need to quadruple the number, if not quintuple the number, of those types of companies that are becoming large and creating a lot of wealth and making people successful so that they can redeploy that capital to kind of the next wave of up-and-coming folks like ourselves.
A more robust investment culture will help grow the tech industry. But the tech industry needs the dollars to grow. Local economic development groups like the Beacon Council in Miami-Dade County are working to encourage the local tech industry. And the international development group Endeavor officially opened its first U.S. office in Miami this week, supported by the Knight Foundation. Another tactic already being used is tax incentives to lure more jobs to the area. Fort Lauderdale's software company Citrix Systems announced last month that it would add 200 jobs in Broward. The company is receiving an incentive package of nearly $2 million. I'm Patience Hagen in Miami.
Now, the job market is about new opportunities, but it's also about getting paid. And that's what makes technology jobs so alluring. That's $2.17. That's how much the hourly median paycheck in Florida grew between 2004 and 2012, according to the Research Institute on Social and Economic Policy at Florida International University. The median Florida hourly wage increased by $2.17 over that time period. But when adjusted for inflation, that's actually 63 cents less, earning less money. When adjusting for inflation, Floridian hourly median pay fell 63 cents per hour over that same 8 years. The purchasing power of the median paycheck in Florida has been dropping, down 63 cents per hour. That's $1,300 less per year.
Workers today are actually earning a whole lot less than they have before, than they have previously, as well as they're working fewer hours. And so this combination of lower compensation as well as lower working hours has really led to a decline in incomes over the past 12 years.
That's Ali Bustamante. He's a visiting professor at FIU and co-author of the report on Florida wages.
Wages over the decade you looked at fell short of keeping pace with inflation by a better of a third.
Absolutely.
That's significant.
Yes, it is. We basically look at this report not just at employment, not just at income, but from the perspective of standard of living, particularly the cost of living, poverty, inequality, so on and so forth, because all these things together ultimately shape how well we're doing economically in the state.
Inflation increased by a third, but wages didn't. Can that be explained because of the low wage nature of the Floridian job market?
It's not solely explained by that, but it is certainly a strong factor. The mark of a good, thriving economy is inflation, is an increase in prices. So as long as our economy is growing, inflation is to be expected. We see that on average, inflation is about 3%. So that's really where we want to be. Ideally, we would have compensation and incomes follow that same trajectory. However, realistically, they do not. A lot of the reason for that, I argue, would be the nature of certain jobs in certain industries don't necessarily follow a trajectory of annual increases in compensation. And this is where I find that particularly Florida, where we have such a large group of our population in things like retail, trade, and tourism, such as hotels and restaurants, that these are industries that really have fairly static wages. And as a matter of fact, over the past 12 years, we've seen that wages in these kinds of industries have actually been declining by about 4%. So incomes are declining overall. They're not increasing whatsoever. So we can basically see that the effects on families are really withholding the ability of families to survive as they used to. When we see spending on housing, spending on food, spending on transportation, all these things have declined by about between 13 and 14% while prices have increased. And it's really a mark that, you know, people can't spend as much as they used to on the basic necessities.
Your research does not lay out a very rosy picture in the years ahead for the Florida economy, caught between generally rising prices, of all types of items, everything from energy and housing to education to food, and contrast that with the general decline or downward pressure that the majority of the Florida workforce and Florida industries are seeing in regards to wages and income.
Absolutely. And you know, and these things go, you know, we basically have an economy that's service oriented, and we have a very strong feedback loop between employment and the way and the types of employment that we have and the type and how well our economy is ultimately going to be doing.
How does that end?
In the short term, you know, we can certainly try to break this feedback loop, not necessarily by solely by, you know, increasing the compensation of workers. And one way to really do that is by increasing the minimum wage to something that's more that's closer to what we would think of as a livable wage, a living wage. Federally, it's been proposed to increase the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. If that were to happen, millions of Floridians, millions of people nationwide would automatically be affected. It's going to lift a lot of people into having greater access to better housing, better food, better transportation. In the long term, ideally, we would move people out of these very low-paying industries like retail, trade, and accommodations and leisure industries. That takes time. It takes, you know, training. It takes retraining our labor force, refocusing the kinds of investments we do as a state to attract different industries.
As you've gone through this research, you're a participant, obviously, in the Florida economy, and you're vested as a stakeholder in the local economy, even as a visiting professor at FIU. Is this an economy you want to remain part of long term?
I ask myself that every day. I'm an expectant father right now, and one of the things that I come to realize is that my wife and I have, you know, our young working professionals in this state. And even we find it sometimes difficult to plan ahead, to save, to have to put money aside for our retirement savings. We think about the future of paying for our child's education. These things seem very difficult to obtain for us. And we are, you know, most likely in the, you know, in the top 20% at, you know, with full confidence of income earners in the state. So how is the great majority of Floridians, you know, getting by?
And it shapes up pretty difficult, visiting FIU professor, labor professor, and we might add expectant father here in South Florida, Ali Bustamante, on wages and work in the Sunshine State. Still to come on the Sunshine Economy, finding work in South Florida, looking for a job with years of experience but no college degree. This is the Sunshine Economy, finding work in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. There are countless factors to help explain why some people find work and others don't. The Great Recession hit men and minorities particularly hard. One of the significant differences between working or not is education. Workers with a high school diploma but no college are twice as likely to be unemployed in this economy. Sal Clemente from Oakland Park graduated high school. He went to work. He spent more than a decade working and managing retail and wholesale stores. He spent the last decade working for law firms. He's been without work since June, when the last law firm he worked for consolidated operations and eliminated a number of jobs, including his.
I want the right job this time. I don't want to be tossed around or utilized as an asset to someone else's selfish desire.
How would you describe your job hunt over the past couple of months that you've been looking?
Getting better and better every day, from my point of view. I have taken some well-rounded seminars out at Workforce. It has created a positive energy instead of wallowing in the, you know, oh gosh, what's going on kind of thing. But yeah, it's more and more positive and better every day.
You're talking about Workforce One of Broward County. What has that agency provided you with in your job hunt?
Well, it's provided me with a bit of an update in life. I've been in the legal field for the last 10, 12 years. And since I've moved back to the South Florida area, of course, with the economy and the way things have gone and the unemployment rate across the entire United States, finding my right niche has possessed its challenges. Keep in mind, it's been probably 12, 15 years since I've had to do a resume. So yeah, there are some things that are no longer utilized, shall we say. I would say they're outdated, such as objectives. You don't see objectives on resumes anymore. So,
What's changed in the job hunt that you did, say, a decade ago compared to the one you've undertaken recently?
A decade ago, you could walk into a place, you know, fill out their application or present your resume or both. Chances are you were seen with someone on the hiring staff at that same time. 2-3 interviews, they usually present you an offer and hire you then. Nowadays, they interview you, they interview you, they interview you, they interview you. They put you through a background check and they interview you. Nowadays, it's even difficult to get that first interview, it seems.
Tell me, Sal, what your last full-time job was and how that plays into your job hunt today.
I've been looking for steady and solid full-time work since I moved back here in 2011. My last full-time job was with a law firm up here in Fort Lauderdale. It was a great job. I was in their bankruptcy department, which is a forte of mine. It's a rather large firm. They're located in several different states. Since my hire date, there were floor meetings saying, you know, we're not going anywhere. And unfortunately, the morale on the floor was pretty much, you know, oh, well, they're going to be shutting down. They're going to be shutting down. They're going to be shutting down. I'm thinking to myself, why would they hire me if they're going to be shutting down? You know, there's expense that they're incurring there. Sure enough, they have done massive layoffs, the last one being a couple of weeks ago.
Sal, you moved back to South Florida in the fall of 2011.
Correct.
Since then, the unemployment rate has been dropping nationally and has been dropping here in the state of Florida. And locally, we've seen several dozen thousands of jobs added to the regional economy. How would you describe the job market in the past several years as you've searched for full-time employment again here in South Florida?
I think it's still pretty difficult. I mean, you can watch the news, and yeah, jobless rates are falling, but they're falling in very specific areas, like construction. I am not into construction. I am not a person who, you know, I barely drive a nail to hang a picture. That takes a certain education and a certain person to carry out that job. I am not that person. I'd hate to say that my field is limited. It's not limited. I am pretty gifted in the legal field, I would think. I can follow a suit from A to Z and know what's needed most 90% of the time. Prior to that, I had a very lengthy retail experience. Retail is still only hiring part-time. I know that there are jobs available in the tourist industry, which South Florida thrives on, but yeah, I'm not afraid to break into it. Yes, I've applied for a few positions, but again, if you don't have a background in it, they're going to take someone who does. Yeah. And that's completely understandable. You know, you want to take someone's talents and actually apply them.
Talk to me about your job experience and your education experience. Do you have a college degree?
No, I do not. I have some college, very limited. I do have a high school diploma. Mm-hmm. I've taken some online courses to further my own brain. I've attended a lot of seminars, things like that. So it's not that the education isn't there. It's just not, you know, a $40,000 college degree.
Have you found that that has impacted your job search at all? Have employers looked at that?
In some aspects, I'm sure they do. Yeah. I'm sure they do. You know, I don't think it has a major role in it because there are those employers out there who take a look at, wow, this guy has 10, 15 years experience, he's been exposed to this environment where you've got someone else who may have all the degrees in the world, which I've faced that side too. Yeah. You know, they have all their degrees or their certificates that they need, but they have not been exposed to the environment. So that, I think employers actually do look at experience and years of experience versus being a bachelor's degree or furthermore.
How have you kept your optimism during your job search?
Hasn't been easy. Don't get me wrong. There are days where you're just like, I can't believe this, ah! You know? And then there are days where you're like, wow, somebody called me. Yeah. It's difficult not to fall for that phone call, though. I have to admit that. You know, you get that phone call and you're all like, oh my God, they called. Okay, so if I get this job, then we can do this, that, and the other thing, you know? And you begin to plan before you even have eggs in your basket.
Yeah. How have you dealt, Sal, without having a steady paycheck since you moved back 3.5 years ago?
It's been challenging. You know, a lot of sacrifices. I've sold a lot of things. You know, I used to have a full dining room set, antique, you know, and I've sold that, pieced it out, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes you got to sell something just to keep the roof over your head.
Yeah.
I've sacrificed is such a dirty word sometimes, you know. But, yes, I've made sacrifices. I think we all have with this recent economy. I mean, nobody travels as much as they used to and things like that. But you make choices.
Sal Clemente on finding work in South Florida. He hopes to have a full-time job with benefits by Halloween. Still to come here on WLRN and the Sunshine Economy. After 35 years working in restaurants in Miami, what one uncle tells his college-bound niece as he goes back to school himself. This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Coming up next Monday on the Sunshine Economy, grow the agriculture industry in South Florida. Squash, beans, sweet potatoes all sprout from the rocky South Floridian soil, along with one of the largest nursery industries growing trees, shrubs, and other landscaping plants. You add it all up, and it's a multi-billion dollar per year industry for the local economy, and it's squeezed by population growth and the desire for cheap food. Finally, here on Finding Work in South Florida, like many people who found themselves out of work, Dago Rodriguez from Miami is back in school, someplace he didn't like when he was younger. His 18-year-old niece also is in the classroom this fall, starting her freshman year at MIT. He has this audio letter to her on what he's learned about the value of education and the job hunt.
Dear Savannah, my experience in the past year has been the greatest challenge in my life. As you know, your grandfather had been in the hospital and I was out of work for the first time. That's when reality set in, and what a shock. Looking for a job as a food server for 35 years of experience and no education was tough. Filling out applications and competing with people younger than I was overwhelming. I have experience, but the job offers were few. Watching the nurses take care of your grandfather made me realize that through my hospitality experience, I would like to work in healthcare and create a more stable career. But I knew that I had to go back to school first. When I was younger, school was not for me. I took things for granted, skipped school, went on with my hardships in life as everyone else does, but without an education. What I learned is when there is a huge rock on the road in front of you, sure, it's easy to turn around, but ask yourself, how do I get past it? Savannah, as you start your college career, you will gather what you've learned and grow. Then as you follow life's road, the rocks get smaller. You will be able to step over them. I'm 50 and still stepping over rocks. Don't take things for granted. Your loving uncle, Dago.
Dago Rodriguez about studying and work to his niece, Savannah. One common trait of the job seekers we spoke to on the program, gender. All men. The unemployment rate for men is more than double during the recession, rising faster than that of women. This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. Thanks for listening.